Everyone, and welcome to Artifacts. I'm your host, Marissa Dickens, and today's guest is digital creator and owner of Wild Eyes Visuals, Cameron O'Neill.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast today.
No problem. I'm glad to be here sipping on, of course, an energy drink, because why else wouldn't I be?
That's very on brand for you, I feel like. That's funny.
Yeah, what can I say? It has to be following some kind of form.
Yeah. So I met Cameron back in Toledo, and I've honestly been impressed with your work and your drive to your business and just the variety of clients that you work with, from local Toledo businesses to health and wellness brands all across the US. You also shot footage for my uncle's gym. Shout out Alpha Omega Gym. And you use drone footage. Like, how cool. Have you always been interested in videography and photography?
So my little backstory, if I can wrap this up really quickly, is in high school. So I started with little skits and stuff with my friends I played hockey with. And then, you know, I did projects for different classes in high school. And then I wanted to film my last season of hockey in high school. And that kind of, when that ended, it formed into, okay, well, how can I keep creating, you know, video content or any type of form of content to post? So that turned into like more like workout footage and like things like that into college. And then throughout college, I started just kept doing it. And one day I was at the gym and one guy recommended me to a gym downtown. And that gym looked at like the stuff that I was doing, because I needed to find somewhere to film, because a lot of places don't want you to do that. Or this is like, you know, 8 years ago, until TikTok and, you know, all the fitness people can film with their phones or whatever. The guy that owned the gym messaged me and he wanted to pay me for a video. So when I made the video, I ran for like a week. And that got like 10,000 views in like a week. And that kind of led to like other people around like the Toledo area that, you know, word gets around. And that kind of led me to like other businesses. And then I worked for a supplement store that needed content pretty much full time while I was in college. So when I was in classes or when I was out of class, I would edit, you know, different things for them. And that connection led me to a lot of like bigger, either brands or bigger people in like the bodybuilding space. So, you know, everything I believe is about connections. Somebody always knows somebody else. So you don't want your reputation to be, you know, bad for any reason. But that started in like 2017, 2018. So it's 2024 now. And those connections have just gotten like crazier and crazier, you know, as years go on. You just keep posting and posting, and people just keep either, you know, rehiring you or they tell you to someone else.
So you're basically like self-taught.
Yep. So I went to college for exercise physiology. And I originally wanted to be a PT. And the story behind that is I got to 3 years into, you know, exercise physiology school. And my advisor at the time, my junior year, was like, you know, you're just not going to make it. You know, hearing that as you're 3 years into your
That's
program.
That's very discouraging.
And you're like, okay, excuse me, first of all. And second of all, what do you mean I'm not going to make it? So the way it works in Ohio is, at least like where I went to school down in OU, which is Ohio University, you have to have like a 3.8 or high 3.8 or a 3.9 GPA. And, you know, those classes of physics, chemistry, you know, human biology, or like anatomy and things like that aren't typically the easiest things to do. So when I'm sitting around like a 2.9 or 3, I'm like, I really don't want to like retake all of these classes just to end up, you know, spending a lot more money and then something I really don't want to do. So during that time was like kind of the snowball of like doing like client work for, you know, the supplement store, like little things here and there. So it kind of just pans out of like, you keep just doing it and people kind of, you really don't know who's paying attention. So even like take this podcast, for example, you could get like 100,000 views or 100 views or whatever it is. You never know who's watching. So you just need one person to, you know, see it, reach out, and that could change like your whole trajectory.
That's crazy to think that, you know, you started with one track. What made that decision for you of like, I'm going to start doing this as an actual business? Was it just building that clientele and getting more confident with your work?
I'm never good with working for somebody else. That's the first thing.
Okay.
So, I was an only child. So I think that kind of plays into like a role of, you know, I'm kind of my I'm kind of on my own as a lone wolf, as like my own boss. So like I don't like to listen to somebody else to tell me what to do. So that's the first thing. But as my backup plan after I graduated with my degree, I went to University of Toledo for my master's in marketing, because at the time I knew somebody that worked there and like waived a couple classes and then waived the GRE. So I did that as like a backup plan. And then during, that master's, I got like the LLC all signed up and everything, and kind of just took off from there and kept like building the roster of like clientele. So the whole point is, I eventually want to add people like to my team, and then I'm in the process of like reforming, I guess, like the business, so that way it's not so evasive of like Wild Eyes Visuals. So I have the name in mind, but that's not for me to share just yet.
Well, let's talk about Wild Eyes Visuals. So, what's the inspiration behind the name?
So the name comes from visuals, is obviously like visuals is like camera or like eyes. And then Wild Eyes comes from a song called Wild Eyes from Parkway Drive, which is a very, it's like a metal rock kind of song, but it's very like chanty or like powerful. So it's more of like a
Get you
go get it,
going.
go do it. You
Yeah.
can do whatever you want, like that kind of like vibe. So I've always had like the idea of that, but it, after like saying it out loud, it's kind of different than just like a thought. So as like an actual business name, I'm like, huh, maybe I should have thought of that a little bit more. But that again comes down to like reformulating the business name to where when I hire somebody on, it's not going to be like so abrasive of a name, but it's more of I want it to be like a community or like a social name that encapsulates everything, but not so crazy that it's like, oh, I work for this company that has like a crazy ass name for, one person.
Yeah. So then how is it? So what did Wild Eyes start out as, and how has it evolved so far?
So, when I first started, there was no like LLC, there was no, it was just me. So as the years will like have went on, I've found other people outside of like Toledo, or even before then, that like our other videographers or like other creative photographers, graphic artists, website designers, people like that. So it's kind of evolved more into like I said earlier, a networking business. So when, I meet somebody again, like I can recommend somebody else to somebody across the country that can do work. So if I have somebody here in Toledo that needs like a website designed or like needs SEO for like, their posts or whatever, I have a guy that lives in Idaho that does that. Or like if I'm not on the West Coast, I have a guy in Vegas that can like do like stuff out there for me. So
Really cool to have those different artists and people in your tool belt, and so you can find them.
Especially if I'm not going to charge somebody $1,500 to fly there when I have somebody else that's already living there.
Yeah, very true. So, what type of, for people who are listening or not familiar with your work, what type of services have you done, or like what kind of clients have you worked with?
So my main service is videography or photography. My main clientele is actually professional powerlifting or professional bodybuilding, but mostly I work with a whole variety of different people. I've done weddings, I've done family like portraits. Next weekend I'm going to San Diego for a book illustrator who's getting an award for her book that was nominated last year from like Scholastic.
Very cool.
I mean, I work with motivational speakers, restaurants, you name it. I've probably done something in that ballpark. I do like steel mill, like drone videos and like real estate. Like I've probably done a lot of a little bit of everything.
Probably, I'm sure, keeps it interesting because you never know
Yeah,
who you're
well, nothing is ever monotonous, I'll tell you that.
talking to.
One
What's
day
been like?
I'm making like a cooking video or whatever, where I'm in some guy's like house and he's making like ribs or something. And then the next day, I'm out like at a steel mill flying around like a big, crane. So nothing's ever the same. But stories are like that I have just like flying around the country is like, it's crazy.
And you go everywhere, really?
I've been a lot like, yeah. I mean, in the last like 4 years alone since I graduated, I mean, I've been to pretty much, a lot of the states like New York, Vermont, all of Texas, Kansas, California. I mean, the only cities I really haven't been to, Alaska and Hawaii. Everywhere else I've either have flown in and out of or I've like driven to.
So talk about your process then. So let's say someone comes with you for like, I need this. Like for on your end, how do you get to know your client and their brand, and then how do you like go in and like shoot? I know it's different for everybody, but like on average, how would you describe the
I
process?
have friends that will charge like 2 grand for like one video.
Wow.
And you know, they're shooting with like Netflix level cameras and they're shooting with things that I don't have, you know, a hold of. But on like my end, like you have to know somebody in their, you know, their business. So if I'm gonna go in and go to a restaurant that's local here in Toledo, I'm not gonna charge them $2,000 for a video. Like, how does
Yeah.
that make sense? Like weddings are completely different from like, you know, a restaurant or like a gym shoot. So, I mean, my hourly rate, let's say it's $80 an hour. Like that's gonna be flat across like anybody. But depending on like how big the project is, that's when you decide like what you are willing to, you know, put your time into and what you want to charge. So I have like my drone license, which is another story of you have to go to a college, sit down and take like a written test, and they give you like a piece of plastic that says that you're certified to fly like a drone for like real estate or like
Like, why do you need
businesses.
a license for that, for drone work?
So there's a the FAA ha, or the yeah the Federal Aviation whatever
Yeah.
agency has a regulation of, you know, you have to fly it below a certain footage, so that way you know you don't fly into a plane, or you know planes
Wow.
know like where you are. So if
Wow.
you're on the tallest building in Toledo and you fly, you're like drones will only go up a certain amount until they will tell you to stop. So if you are on like a 1,000 foot building and then the drone goes up another 400 feet, like you're not supposed to be that high because you know a plane could fly into it. So you have to know like all these little things. I mean, during the test, there's flight codes, there's like sectional maps, all these things that I'll never use,
Yeah.
but I just need a piece of plastic that says I can do this for, you know, $200 for a house or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been pretty crazy, and it's still getting a little bit crazier.
What
Enough about me. What about you?
was it? Me? What about me? What do you want to know?
What's going on in the dancing world?
The dancing world. That's a whole other podcast, especially in LA. It's very similar though to what you're saying. Like a lot of this industry is about who you know. And I'm finding that a dancer I know in Chicago knows someone in LA and they work together, or like this choreographer is hiring dancers that they know on the set. Because that's just, you know, you rely, you know people, you know how their work ethic is, you're gonna hire them. So where I'm at is trying to get my foot in the door of like training and meeting people and like making my face a little more recognizable and known and like showing up more to just train. Your work will speak for itself, people will notice it, and then you just keep getting connections and connections from there. So,
I'm a small city boy living in a big city world.
yes. Are you from Toledo?
No, I'm from Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh. So then you did you come here because of school?
So I was born in Pittsburgh because my dad at the time was the CMO at GNC. So he moved here in the early 2000s for Hickory Farms, which is like a prepackaged party meat, you know,
Yeah, I
seasonal
love Hickory Farms.
item. So I've lived here like since then. I don't know where like I'll end up, but you know, I've lived here all my life. My friends are here. So it's not that I'm like tethered here because even my family is not, they don't live here. Everyone lives everywhere else. So, I mean, I'm here for more business, but it's also cheaper to live here than it is in California.
From your perspective, being in this industry for a while, how would you describe the Toledo, I don't want to like videography, digital media scene
It
are
depends who
there?
you ask. Because I have friends that have been doing this for like a while and they can't get off the ground. So I hate to keep like circling back, but it depends on who you know, like in the area. But everybody kind of has like their niche. Like I have a guy that does only weddings, and then I have a guy who does like other like gym shoots in the area. And then I have another guy who like his big thing was like birthday parties. But it depends like what your niche is, what people are like willing to pay for. You know, you also have to think about like what's the reoccurring clientele you can get. So not to like poo-poo on my friend that does like birthdays, but you know, that's like a once in a year kind of thing. So it's, you know, when I want to hire people in the area, I have to figure out who's good at like what certain things.
Yeah, so it sounds like Toledo has more pockets of people obviously doing things, but more in specific areas and not more expansive, broader companies that are doing multiple like media things. It's more like
Yes. Like,
global companies.
I'm looking more of like the macro. When people want to stick to Toledo, that's great, but I want to be, nationwide. So it comes into play where I have people, in New York, LA or Vegas or wherever it is. So I'm connected everywhere, but that's like on a bigger plan of like, I don't need to just stay here.
What was it? Because like starting your own business, obviously it's a risk to do it. What were some of the challenging parts for you, and like what advice would you give for people after, starting your own business?
I was fortunate enough to like still be going through college, and this is during COVID, so when the world shut down, people depend on what is selective as like a necessity, like what business can you actually do stuff for. So I was still going through school, so I wasn't really focused just on the business. So I mean, as like a business owner, you're never going to get like a certain paycheck, which people don't really understand. So when people see me, they're like, "Oh, you're like flying like all over the place. You're going to Disney for a day. You're going to like Texas for like a week. It must be great just to be balling." And I'm like, "Well, that's not reflected in my bank account, but I appreciate that." And people, I think, have like a certain like image perception of like, I guess like what successful is. So like, it's cool that I'm doing all this stuff, but like that's not like success just yet. Like I feel like when you're owning your own business and you're doing certain things, and you have like a goal in mind, like what like that point is. Like it's always just like networking is like the biggest thing. So I mean, if you're in a room with like 40 people and you want to talk to like five, that's a good start. If you're at like a wedding and you talk to one person, that's a great start. Like just anything you can do just to be in front of somebody, especially if it's like a business card or like a portfolio on hand, that's fantastic. I haven't had retainers, so I do a certain amount of workload every month, and then they pay me like once a month for like the amount of work that I'm doing. So that'd be like one of the best things that I would like recommend is like, how can you get somebody to like rely on you enough to pay you like a monthly like fee that you're charging for like a certain workload that you're doing for them? So like right now, scaled to like three or four, and then I have like other things in the background that like I'm trying to like get on board. So that's like a constant like revenue source. I know that's going to come in. But if to start off with, you're not gonna have like a check from like your 9 to 5 coming in like every week or like whatever. And then you have like other things on top of that, like health insurance or like, important things that you have to survive off of. So you have to be like very careful, like as especially like a small business owner, to like rely on yourself and like beat the odds, because like owning a business, like the odds are against you. There's just no other way to put it.
No, it's just really interesting because I interview a lot of artists, and there's something amazing about freedom in your creativity and being able to have your own business. But like, we don't really talk about a lot the logistical side of having your own business and being your own brand and like how to pay the bills. And it's like, it's not a 9 to 5. And like a 9 to 5 is great because like you know what to expect, where it's like if you're independent, it's like how do you create your 9 to 5, but in different ways, and you got to travel and do all these things. So it's really interesting to hear you talk about just like the back end of it too. I do want to talk about, I know the last time I think I saw you in person, you were raising money for a charity because you were selling, I think, sweatshirts based off Wild Eyes visuals.
Last year, I wanted to do something a little bit different for, my second year in business. So I met a business owner down in Columbus that does apparel or like merchandise. He buys the blank t-shirts or hats or like whatever. And then he has a screen printing business where you'll send him a logo, he'll screen print it. And it's probably the cheapest prices that I've found. So what I wanted to do last year was just raise money for St. Jude's, just as a good cause. I think karma plays a big role in a lot of things, and I've been around people that say that they're going to give money to charity and they literally just pocket it, which is not, it's a big no-no in my morality book. So last year I raised, I think, close to like $1,800 selling like shirts and hoodies for St. Jude's. So all the money raised last year, 100% of it went to St. Jude's. And then this year I did the Ronald McDonald House, and 50% of the money I kept for cost of like the shirts and hoodies. And then the other half went to the Ronald McDonald House. So I gave like $350 to them. And then I have like a couple like shirts and stuff like left over, but It's kind of just seeing like what people want and what people like. I mean, usually when something's going to a good cause, people are more willing to, give you $20 or $10 or like whatever it is. So, or if I just want to make something cool, I just do that. So I made these like shaker bottles with like a Winnie the Pooh logo on
You love Winnie the
it.
Pooh. Where does that stem from?
It's free. It's in the public domain.
That
So as long as he's
sums
not,
you
as
up.
long as he's not wearing like
Logical. So
a red
logical.
shirt. If he's not wearing a red shirt, you are safe. Disney can't do anything.
Wow, that's so funny though. Like that's look, that's really funny that you like he's free. I love it. But that's really cool that you have this business is now like you said 2 years in.
Yep. Well, if this will be the third
This
year.
will be the third
So
year.
the reformatting or whatever will be the start of the fourth year.
Nice. But it's really cool that you've been able to give back to community and charities, and it's exciting to see like what else do you have planned for the besides obviously the rebranding, the reforming, any other exciting projects coming up you want to share?
I'm just trying to think of, ways to expand. So as I'm growing, I want like a team around me to, hop on board. And I think that's like the goal of any business is how do I go from one person to like three? So without, shipping things overseas to like India on Fiverr or whatever, giving somebody $5 to like make a video, like I want somebody like local enough where they're willing to like either like help with like bookkeeping or like that way I'm giving back to the community and someone can rely on me for like, a paycheck.
And then I forgot to ask, what kind of a camera do you use? What's your equipment?
It is a Sony A7IV, and I typically shoot on a 16 to 35 millimeter 2.8. And then I have another lens that's a 90 millimeter macro. So, I mean, your equipment doesn't have to be like crazy. It just needs to be, good enough where people are like, oh, that looks great. You're like, all right, it shoots 4K. Okay, looks good.
Your favorite film is Tommy Boy, a little birdie told me.
Oh, yeah.
Talk about this. I've never seen Tommy Boy, but I love David Spade. So obviously you're into geography and you watch a lot of film. So like what's your thing with Tommy Boy?
I'm not in my office right now with Marissa, but in my office I have a whole like shrine of like Tommy Boy stuff. So in our video call here, I have a laser disc version of Tommy Boy, and then this is all like packed up. So it looks like a big record that you play on like a record player. But my whole like, I don't know if it's like an obsession. But when I was a kid, like any of those movies with, like Happy Gilmore, Billy Madison, like things of that nature from like the old SNL cast, I am just a huge fan of like goofy comedy. And that was just like one of the movies where you can throw on, turn your brain off, you can laugh at it. One of those movies where you can just always play and just have like a good time with it.
And then another little birdie told me you love Buc-ee's. So like, what is Buc-ee's for people who don't know? And like, it's another obsession you have, correct? It's like I've never been to one, I don't think.
So Buc-ee's is basically the Costco or Walmart of like gas stations. They're typically like in the south part of the US. So you could be driving on like Route 66 and see a Buc-ee's like every 120 miles. So it's not like a place you just go. It's like a destination. So I was in Austin, Texas last year. My mom's never been to Texas before. And I'm at my cousin's wedding and she's asking me things of like what to do. I'm like, all right, we need to go to Buc-ee's. And she's like, what is Buc-ee's? And I'm like, all right, you're not gonna believe this, but it's like it's 2 hours away, but we have to go.
You went
So
2 hours
she's like,
away for this place.
when you tell somebody like about it, they're like, oh, it's like a gas station, like it's just whatever. But you drive there, and it's like a huge like, it's like a plot of land with like just pumps and pumps of like gas, and then in the middle is like a big Walmart. So Buc-ee's makes like their own like beef jerky. They make their own like candy. They have like all kinds of like memorabilia there of like the beef. The mascot's like a big cartoon beaver. So in the middle of the store is like they make their own like brisket and like pulled pork. They make their own candy. They have like the mascot like walking around inside to take pictures with.
They don't. Do they
It's like
really?
it's Disneyland,
Disneyland, but with a gas station. And
yeah. I'll buy like my seasonal Buc-ee's on my TV stand. I have one for Halloween, one for Christmas, and then one
they have
for the full
seasonal
time.
Buc-ee's.
And then I have my out on my patio, I have a blow up 8 foot Buc-ee, and he holds a sign up that says the party's here, or the party's on, or something like that.
Oh, wow. Okay. Buc-ee's is where it's at, apparently. Would you ever like if they asked you to work for them, would you do it in a
Yeah, they
heartbeat?
pay big. A manager there makes like 120K. It's crazy. Yeah, Bucky's is not to be like played with. They know what
It's like Disney. Wow. Okay. Respect.
they're
I love it. All right. Before we go, I have some rapid fire questions. Are you ready? Okay. Favorite restaurant in Toledo?
Fifth Street.
Oh, what do you usually get?
I get a buffalo chicken pizza with double chicken.
Okay.
This is a rapid fire. Come on,
No, you had that. You had that.
no.
Okay. I won't question you. Favorite horror film? Fire. No. You can take your
I
time,
don't
honestly.
have one.
What?
I don't know.
What's the one that you like to watch the most?
I don't watch horror movies like just like casually.
Okay, what's the most recent one you've seen then?
I think Midsommar is pretty crazy. I think if you've seen that.
I've caught the tail end of that. I don't know. Someone was watching it, and
It's
I
like
heard.
a cult. Like this group of college kids go out to like this country doing like a research paper, and it's like a cult of people that, sacrifice, newcomers or like whatever. It's very odd.
Favorite ride at Disney World.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
And doesn't that ride like take you upside down or something? Or like it shoots
So
out? What's like weird?
Guardians at Epcot, that's like my favorite ride because it's an indoor roller coaster. So when you get on the car spins like the 360 like around the track. So you'll go up the first lift hill and go around a room in like a U shape, and there's a big screen that lines along the wall where like a cinematic scene's playing. So like while this ship is like going around the screen, your car's turning towards the screen, and then when that scene ends, a door opens behind and you fly backwards, and the car like around the track is moving along like these big screens around the roller coaster.
The technology at Disney is pretty crazy. Like the new trackless rides are pretty cool.
Totally don't work.
Yes. And like I was reading up on it, and it's like as if like one thing's off, they like it shuts down.
Yeah, I know that they just opened Tiana's Bayou, I think like a week ago or this week, which replaced Splash Mountain, and like the animatronics are just like off-putting because like you could have like all the static ones and then one main character could be like off completely, but the audio is still like going.
Oh
So
yeah.
they're trying to like make sure everything works.
I love the this isn't my favorite ride, but I love the Avatar Flight of Passage ride because it's just so immersive. It's like what 4D and like you feel like you're flying and what a banshee or I don't know what you call them, but it was amazing when I went
Yeah,
it
you
was a
can
while
feel
ago.
like breathe between your legs.
Yes. It's like weird. It's like crazy. It's really
Yeah.
cool. I'm a Thunder Mountain gal. Like I love Thunder Mountain. It's just fun. I love Space Mountain, and I love a nice Haunted Mansion one when it doesn't break down too.
I just need those rides to be like refurbished. Going
No.
on Space Mountain, you can't see anything, and then there's a hard, sharp right turn, and then it's like wobbly, so like it hits your back wrong. And there's
I feel
like
like I'm gonna hit my head on Space
Yeah,
Mountain.
anything with that, like I'm good.
Who is your biggest inspiration?
There was a YouTuber, his name was Max Tuning, and then there was another YouTuber, his name was Christian Guzman. And there's all these brands that you probably like are familiar with. One's called Sour Strips. It's a candy company. It's in Target. So Max Tuning made that company, and he was like a big vlogger on YouTube for like years. He still does it now, but it's not as like popular. And then there was Christian made this brand called Alphalete. So when I first started, like Christian and Max were like the YouTubers I would like consume like weekly. And that kind of like vlogging style kind of impacted like what I was doing. So now there's a place in Houston called Alpha Land that's like five gyms into like this one big compound. One's inside, one is like a door to go to the outside gym, and there's like two other gyms like outside of that. And like people like pull up there in like Lambos and like McLaren's and things like that. It's crazy. Like if one guy can make like a impact in like a fitness space and build a compound like that off of YouTube, like anything is possible.
Favorite Christmas film? Because I remember you don't you like Christmas?
I love Christmas.
Christmas. You
My
love
favorite Christmas film. I don't want to say Christmas Vacation, but that's like a classic. That's the only one I can think of at the top of my head.
it. Cool, great. Favorite movie quote?
I don't know. It don't me on the spot.
Take your time. You could honestly.
So in Tom, let's go back to Tommy Boy. So in Tommy Boy, there's a scene where David Spade and Chris Farley are having an argument outside of their car, and there's like a chicken restaurant on the side of the road. David Spade hits Chris Farley in the face with a 2x4, and the next scene is they're inside the chicken restaurant, and there's like a mark on the side of his face that's like red, and David Spade's asking like how he feels after that, and Chris is like, you know, my shoulder doesn't really hurt, but it hurts not here, not here, but right here. And there's like a big mark on the side of his face. And then the waitress comes over and she says, Jesus, kid, what happened to your face? And then there's a, at, on that same scene, they're like, they can't get wings. So the whole point of the movie is that this guy needs to, you know, go across the country to sell car brake pads, to, like save his dad's company. So that scene is pretty important to like how he figures out to like talk to other people and like network. And you know, he talks to the waitress into like frying up chicken wings for him.
Yeah.
But it's just like dumb stuff like that I just love, like
There's so, no, I love David Spade, and I feel like there's just, I love dumb humor too sometimes. It's just like, it's, yeah. I have to watch the movie now.
yeah, well, I mean you gotta. I mean, I have VHS, Laserdisc, Blu-ray, DVD. I mean, you name it.
If you could collaborate with one person, who would you choose and why?
Collaborate.
Or like a client, either one.
I think like on the video and like photo side of things, there's a guy named Peter McKinnon. He's like huge in like videography and like photography. But I think it's not more of collaborating, it's just more of learning. So like if anybody could show me like just new things of how to do stuff or like lighting or like you know different camera, you know, hacks or tricks or like whatever editing like that. I always find that like fascinating. So even with like my friends like in other states, when I go to them and they show me like, you know, how their workflow is or like things like that, I enjoy that a lot more than having the same style that I have and then just giving my clients like the same, you know, output.
And then when you're not busy working, what do you like to do for yourself?
I go to the gym. I go to the gym like 6 days a week.
Oh my gosh.
My whole thing with that is like I am very goal oriented. So either like I want to compete eventually and like again in like a physique show or like powerlifting. I like watching movies, as we said. Traveling's always fun when I'm not paying for it. It's
Yes.
even better. I'll hang out with friends, go to like different local places around Toledo. I'm a big foodie, so I'm sure, you know, I've been to a lot of restaurants here in like the area of like Sylvania, Perrysburg. Or I grew up in a town called Holland, which is like 15 minutes away. So like anything in between, like pretty much I know the spots like pretty well.
Well, you heard it here first, folks. Cameron O'Neill, everybody.
Woo-hoo!
So make sure to follow Cameron on Instagram. And then I have it, but do you want to give all your information? That way you can just give a shout
Sure. My social security is.
out.
My Instagram's Cameron, CAMERONJ O'Neill. O-N-E-I-L-L. And that's like my personal Instagram. And then my business Instagram is Wild Eyes Visuals, WILDEYES Visuals. And you'll find like constant stuff coming out every week on my own personal platform. And then on my business platform, that stuff is updated like 4 to 5 times a week. So I'm
If
always
someone wants to hire you, how can they contact you?
you can either email me at wildeyesvisuals @gmail.com. Or you can, you know, DM my page. I mean, that's pretty much the go-to these days with like social media. Just, you know, send me a DM and I'm pretty much to respond.
Awesome. Well, thanks for coming on again. Nice
I
chat.
appreciate it.
Yeah, of
Now
course.
you just need to go sit down. You just need to watch Tommy Boy. Have all your fans know what you think of the 90s and the prime era of our society.
And that is Cameron O'Neill. Thank you for everyone listening in, and stay tuned for another episode next month.